All right, so let's hit the news points. There's a couple here. They're all fairly minor. Shouldn't take too long to get through this.
It's winding down.
The news is winding down.
Shut up.
All right. Speaking of things in the back, Macross the First is on Comic Walker. It's out. It's available in Japan and non-Japan regions if you change the language settings of your iOS or other device. Does not support English, but it's accessible.
Yeah.
Now, at the moment, and Richard, I think you can confirm this for me, they've basically reordered the chapters.
Well, I don't know if they're what they're going to do with it, because, again, from Volume 5, which was the final volume that came out before, you have the first three chapters of the kind of prequel, the Tales of South Ataria Island. I have no idea what they're doing with the Comic Walker one, but the one that they released, the first episode, is the first episode of Tales of South Ataria Island.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm looking for is what happens after episode 3 on Comic Walker. Will they continue that? Will they try to reprint everything?
Mm.
I have no idea what they're doing. However, the Comic Walker version does have color pages that not even New Type Ace had.
Right.
So it is kind of cool in that way. You cannot save the photos, but I mean, the whole point is to read it for free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they really want you to keep it for free.
At the moment, we've only seen one chapter. And so it's supposed to be a monthly release.
Yes, the next one is coming out on May 25th. Someone in this room has been after me for years to translate Macross the First. We'll see.
You need to get back on that.
Given that rate, though, Richard, at one chapter a month, it will be quite a while till we get back to the original story.
Well, it depends on what they're doing, right? If they're just doing Tales of South Ataria Island and then going back to new chapters, it could be like, you know, like within 3 months, we could be getting new content.
But if they do, if they do the Tales of South Ataria, then they do the end for that section, like a new chapter.
Right.
Then they go back to the Minmay and her new cameraman boyfriend.
Why would they do that?
Then start the whole... if they're going chronologically.
Why would they do that? Why would they reprint everything that's already been printed?
Because it's...
Why would Comic Walker reprint...
To give Haruhiko Mikimoto more time to work on this thing, because he doesn't have enough time, because he's so...
No, and because it's a new platform, it's a new... partnership. I doubt there'd be a contract
and
which says
anyone who is looking at this in the intended market, which of course is the Japanese market, can go to Book Off and buy volumes 1 through 5 for 108 yen at any Book Off anywhere.
Well,
and it must be noted,
I bought volume 2 finally for 100 yen because I finally found it for 100 yen. I don't know where the other ones are. Yesterday,
well,
I bought it.
They are still worth more than the Macross 2 novels.
Yes, the Macross 2 novels were 1 yen each.
How's it save up?
So, I think, in my opinion, and I've got nothing to substantiate this, it's just my opinion, they will probably redo everything.
Really? I don't think so, because, okay.
I think they'll redo it.
Look at the way they're doing Gundam the Origin. Now, admittedly, this isn't the English one.
Yeah.
They're doing Gundam the Origin, and they're doing Gundam the Origin Amuro 0082. Both simultaneously. Now, Amuro 0082 is a new manga.
Mm-hmm.
The original Gundam the Origin goes back a ways. And so they're doing both of them in tandem. I would think that they would do something similar with Macross the First. Like, they would have, okay, new chapters here, old chapters here.
So you're saying there's a sequel to Seventh Chord coming?
I don't think so. No, that was wrapped up in a little written out epilogue saying, hey, we couldn't finish it, but here it is.
So, I mean, given the amount of time I suspect we have till this new series drops, I think they will reprint this and keep it going.
Yeah.
To fill in that hole. But the point is, it's out there, it's accessible. So download the app on a mobile device or check it out on your computer. Moving on, you know, Adrian,
Yes.
I think I finally found a way to get you to come to the movies.
How?
There's a screening going down. And wouldn't you know it, there's some Ishtar involved.
Oh, that screening.
Oh, man.
Yes, yeah. They are going to play to commemorate the release of the Macross 2 remastered Blu-ray box set. A Macross 2 screening, not just any old screening, an all-night screening.
Woohoo!
It's Yahoo!
Yeah. Oh, well, not in...
Oh, it is in this case, because what's going to follow Macross 2 on that all-night screening? Macross Plus Movie Edition.
So you mean Yahoo.
Considering that even if I watch Macross 2 when I'm rested, I still start falling asleep around episode 4, would not bode well for an all-night screening.
So the screening's going to begin with Do You Remember Love, then go to all of Macross 2, then go to Macross Plus Movie Edition.
Yeah. And the last time I watched Macross 2, the movie edition, was at Santa Monica Lamley's, and I got sleepy halfway through.
The last time you watched it? You haven't watched it since then?
In the theater.
Oh, okay.
Theatrical screening.
Okay. Yeah, but at least that one, everybody was laughing at certain points in the
Time, who are you going to make sarcastic comments to? Yeah. What is the point of going to a movie that you can't laugh at?
Fly me to the moon, Hibiki. Everybody laughed at that point.
Jeez.
So this is going to be on June 6th at the World 9 in Shinjuku. There are still tickets available. I know, it's from the German, right? So yeah, that's coming up. Also, just in a follow-up from a past podcast, Kriya Vision, who of course were originally making the Robotech fan film Valkyrie Project, or Project Valkyrie, or however you want to say it.
Valkyrie Proyecto.
That's the one. were originally, they said they were going back and were going to re-edit and re-release their work with all new mechanical designs.
Yes! And an all new font for the title, because they weren't using the Robotech font anymore. They got rid of every Robotech reference.
So, since then, they've come back and cancelled the project altogether.
Yes.
Which is certainly a shame. But, you know, as has been discussed on this project before, despite...
On this podcast before, you mean?
Yeah. On, what did I say?
On this project. Project Valkyrie. It's getting to you, man.
It's getting to me. All right. On this podcast before, you know, from what we've heard, you know, there was a C&D sent to them to get them to stop this. Not clear the reasons why or who actually was behind it. We can say that it doesn't appear, as far as we know, to have been anyone on the Japan side to have had anything to do with this. Because it was Robotech. Tom, are you aware of this current situation? I mean, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I saw the Project Valkyrie. I saw the two videos. So I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's pretty cool. You know, the Robotech fans are into it and wanted to make something, and it was far beyond what I think a lot of people expected on it. But, you know, it was a fan film. But it certainly showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I heard it was shut down, and, you know, someone contacts me and says, hey, did you hear what's going on? I'm like, no, what's going on? And he says, oh, yeah, they got shut down. You know, they got a C&D from, you know, and I said, and my first question is, well, who did this C&D come from? And they said, well, it's Big West. And I thought, well, that's just absolutely absurd. Why would Big West have anything to do with it? That's, you know, their territory is Japan. There's Macross in Japan. That's 100% their thing. It made no sense to me because, you know, one way would Big West be care? One way or another.
Okay.
It's a fan film in another country. And not even, like, the United States. And also, it's a fan film.
Right, exactly. We know from experience that Big West doesn't care about fan-produced stuff. Right?
Yeah. In fact, as Renato holds up a doujinshi.
Yeah. You need to stop waving those around.
I just think that you know, so that didn't make any sense. And then people said that was a C&D. And given that I work there, I can tell you that C&Ds don't come lightly in that business. And the people who work at Harmony Gold, I mean, and what I mean is the legal staff, president of Harmony Gold, they do the things the right way. They do it very meticulous, very detailed, researched, and if they sent a C&D, they would mean business.
Right.
But I question whether they would, because this is a fan film.
Right.
Look, I mean, look at all these other studios. You've got Star Wars. You've got you've got Disney now owning Lucasfilm.
We were mentioning Star Trek Continues earlier.
Star Trek Continues, yeah. Has CBS or Paramount jumped down and tried to stop Star Trek fan films? Has, you know, Lucasfilm tried to stop... Lucasfilm has never, ever tried to stop Star Wars fan. Why? Because that builds the interest in the intellectual property.
And some of the Star Wars stuff, I mean, like the Pink Five stuff, that actually made its way into the expanded universe novels.
You know, it's I mean, they understand that this is how fans keep themselves, you know, entertained and interested in the whole mythos of those properties. For Robotech to try to shut what from what I see is the only fan film out there. They should be grateful that something like that has happened. Now, it's totally within their rights to say, well, no, we don't want that. But, because obviously they're making a film and Warner Brothers is not.
But Tommy Yoon was trotting it out at all the conventions, showing clips of it and saying, hey, look at what great fans we have that they're able to make something this great, when they were doing all of the trailers for what Valkyrie Proyecto was going to eventually be.
But at some point, somebody above him probably said, no, this is not what you should be doing. Or this is not what should be going on. Now, then this is, now we get into the question of who sent what.
Right.
And this is somehow, some way, Big West comes...
Well, first you have CreaVision saying that it was Big West, and then deleting it. Then you have Kevin McKeever coming in and saying, we do not know the details of this C&D, but we must protect our licensors and our third party's rights.
Well, that's ridiculous in of itself for him to even say they are not privy to what's going on. I mean, I can tell you right now, they can walk 50 feet down the hallway and say, what's going on with this CreaVision thing? And, you know, for him to say, we're not privy, well, he's just not a very important vice president of marketing. That he is not privy to that information. Tommy, he does his own thing. And a lot of things he does, he'll, you know, he might put up this thing on this PowerPoint presentation about CreaVision. And then once he informs his superiors at Harmony Gold, hey, there's this people, they're making this fan film, and then they raise an objection, say, oh, no, you don't do that. You don't have any authority to give permission to that. You need to shut it down. Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to call CreaVision and say, well, you know, there's this situation, and he'll do anything to make sure that he's not the bad guy.
Right.
So he'll point the imaginary finger at a villain who cannot defend themselves.
Right. I mean, the fact of the matter is that this is all being kind of subdued since CreaVision has gone and cancelled this and it's all kind of a moot point now, but I mean, anything that's Robotech related really doesn't concern Japan. It's something that was not unknown of, but it was more like, why is this even still being discussed? Like, anyone who knows that
Robotech's Robotech... Well, a lot of the people on Nichon seem to be even just saying, like, so wait, is there a third part? When's it coming out?
So, were they interested in seeing a third part?
Yeah.
I've met Japanese fans who are like, yeah, what's happening with it? There are Japanese subtitles on it and everything. Oh, cool. It's like Star Wars fans in any country are interested in seeing, you know, the kid in the supermarket where they photoshopped the lightsaber onto or whatever.
So where does where does this stand with Big West? Do they just kind of...
They make no statement whatsoever.
Okay. Well, if I was them, I'd just shrug my shoulders and say, well, doesn't have anything to do with us. I mean, it is kind of lousy that the finger got pointed at them, but they're like, hey, we didn't have anything to do with it, and, you know, it's not our... We're not really all that interested in it, which would... That would go to what I always felt that their attitude was towards anything that happened outside of Japan, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a bad thing for Robotech fans and apparently some Macross fans. It would have been cool. Would have been cool to see. It's a sad thing.
All right, so moving on. So being the 20th anniversary of Macross 7, as many fans had predicted or maybe hoped for, a Firebomber concert has been announced. And this time with a bit of a twist, it's going to be called Firebomber 2014
Basura explosion. Richard, you get a Basura explosion right all over the crowd there.
Common people.
Set that up well, didn't we?
Yes.
And the point that sticks out to me is that it's only got really Basura's name in that subtitle for the concert after all the Milan Night kerfuffle. However, it's come to light that, you know, Chie Kajiura will be making an appearance as a special guest.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know how you have a Firebomber concert with Chie as a special guest as opposed to the one half of Firebomber. But it is happening. It's going to go down in October 19th in Kanagawa Kenmin Hall. So if anyone's in Tokyo around that time of year, or in Yokohama, I should say, yes, around that time of year.
So Firebomber was special guest Chie Kajiura.
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically,
well, Fukuyama with, it's going to be Fukuyama and the Fukuyama band with Chie Kajiura as a guest.
Who probably brought her own band, because she never does anything without her own band.
But we are getting a Firebomber gig of sorts. I'm expecting this will be much like, you know, on DVDs you've got like the Fukuyama tribute to Basura. Yeah. And then you've got, and that was billed as a Firebomber gig. And then you had the Firebomber one, which was him and Chie. Right. So this is probably going to be another one, like the Fukuyama tribute, but with a few songs where they bring Chie in, is what I'm expecting. So on the topic of events, we did go to the fifth year anniversary of the launching ceremony for the SGF1.
Yes, we did.
So it launched in 2009, it's now 2014. You were at the original launch ceremony, right? That was the thing in Akiba.
Yeah, I attended both of them, and Egan and Ted in both of them.
That's the first time we met.
You were there.
Yeah, the first time me and Renato met in person.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't at that one. What did they actually do at the original event back in 2009?
There was
a bicycle there.
Oh, yeah, they had the bicycle.
There was.
Of course, they were showing
Skull One Roy Fokker bicycle.
It is kind of the same as far as the event goes. Bunch of, you know, products, toys, limited stuff for the event.
Non-alcoholic champagne.
Yeah, the non-alcoholic champagne. Not the Ava alcoholic champagne. Well, there was two events, and I think, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember really if I went to both or one.
You went to both.
Okay.
We waited for you.
Alright. I remember there was a fan saying karaoke. That was like some of it.
Yes, yes.
And there was a talk show with like Miyatake, Mikimoto, Kawamori.
Yeah.
There was a Megumi Live, and she sang Mime songs and Megumi songs.
Yeah, that's what I didn't see. Songs. So I was there for the talk show,
you're not
but
getting
not
that
for
anymore.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a talk show, and then the second ceremony
the
was the launch.
The captain and the
It was, there was the talk show was the first one, and then the second one was the reenacting of the actual launch ceremony, where they had the voice actor for Global, and originally they had scheduled the voice actor for Max.
Shohei Ami.
Yeah.
But this was around the time where he had been getting razor blades in the mail.
Yeah.
And death threats and stuff.
Well, they had said, publicly it was said he was ill and he couldn't attend, so they got the voice actor for Kakizaki to come. But later on, it was kind of somewhat revealed that, it was they changed the schedule due to these threats.
Yeah.
And so they showed some new animation, which was just wasn't really animation, it was just motion graphics kind of thing, just some tangent art kind of just scrolling off to the side, and they had some helicopters animated in the background, which you saw at the anniversary event in the beginning. So they've replayed that same footage. The only thing they didn't do was they do the whole ceremony scene, and then Global says, take off, and then they throw out these smoke machines and strobe lights. Yep. There you go. That was pretty much it.
So this time around, 5 years on, what did we get? Well, it was held at this relatively small hall up in Asakusa. And this time around, I opted to go once, not twice. It didn't sell out either session as far as I'm aware. normally with these things, as we've discussed before, they do 99% the same content for the morning and the afternoon sessions. Now, this time around, it wasn't 100% the same content because they did do a bit of a live reading drama with the cast members they had on hand. And it turned out they did the first half of it in the morning and the second half in the afternoon. So you got a recap, we went in the afternoon, of what happened in the storyline in the morning session. And then we got the rest of it. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. So we went into this hall, and inside the, you know, you had some merchandise, they had some stationery sets, nothing major. They had some big posters up for the Macross 2 Blu-ray box set.
Yes.
With a girl dressed as Ranka with a poster for Ranka's birthday, which is coming up in April. Saying there's some kind of plan underway, some kind of campaign that's happening. They're also giving out pamphlets which said, among other things, there's another Ichiban Kuji campaign coming up, so more figures and merch to weigh down boxes in my room. And so we got in there, and I had no idea what this event was going to be like going in, because it's like, what do you do? Who did we have there, guess-wise? First of all, the MC, more or less, was Tenjin.
Yeah.
And so on top of that, we had
Ayendo.
We had was it Takumi Yamaz? Is it Yamazaki?
Yamazaki,
yeah. So Isamu. We had Haruka Chisu.
Let's just say it.
Ga. And we had Nobutoshi Kanna.
Yeah.
Who's Basara?
Yeah.
What a weird ensemble. Unless I'm playing Macross 30, I don't know why these people are together. Especially Tenjin. It's like we've got these people doing characters, and it turned out Tenjin used his pretty extensive experience emceeing, you know, commercials and his voice acting experience to be the actual MC for the skit. Thank you. He introduced it, explained the setup and what happened. But we got, let me see, there was a talk show. They were talking about, you know, their experiences with Macross.
How they got involved, what was the first thing they worked on.
Yeah.
So, of course, Tenjin got to introduce Macross Zero.
Right.
They showed, like, big clips of some short scenes of animation.
Right. They had a... So that talk show was probably... It was over half of the event, really.
Yeah.
Just basically all these people involved in Macross getting together and shooting the shit about Macross, which was kind of cool. It was nothing really major. The big highlight for me was the skit when they got together, and the whole setup for that was just that the cast had accidentally folded out in the middle of a saksa and had to find out a way to get back. And there were, you know, they were trying to work out, yeah, can we get enough energy if Cheryl sings, and then open up a fold wave and somehow get out, and can we do this, can we do that? There are all these little jokes which are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
As they do in these things.
So it's not a gritty war drama?
No, not at all. No. But the best thing I thought was that,
very,
you know, they're talking about, you know, you just have to sing your heart out, sing as hard as you can. And then Cheryl's like, yeah, but look at what happened to me last time I did that. She ended up in a coma. You know, and Basara jumps in and he's like, well, you know, I remembered when I was a kid, I used to go out to that mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, whether it be sun, rain, or hail. And I'd sing all day in the middle of this weather. And Mina, like Haruka Chizuka, kind of cautiously sticks her head in. She's like, didn't your parents stop you from doing that at all? Why wouldn't your parents stop you? And the whole crowd was kind of breaking up laughing at this point, because that's the unspoken question over the years. What was the go with Basara's parents as this kid with this giant guitar was standing in the rain singing at a mountain? So
somebody needs to watch Macross 7 Encore again.
What was Isamu's purpose there? Because, I mean, he didn't have any singing ability.
Not really.
Yes, he does. Yahoo! He yodels.
He did get the audience going, because in the end he was the one who said, all right, well, we're going to have to use the anima spiritual, the song power from the audience. And so they had us sing along, and that was, they got us involved, and then they supposedly opened a fold and got the heck out.
And that led into a competition where if you were picked by your seat number, you got to go. One, you won something, because they were giving out the
TV series box set.
Yes.
Wow.
The Blu-ray.
The Arcadia
Frontier.
Yeah, the Frontier TV one. Series box set. They gave that out. The Arcadia Tengen 30th anniversary. A Bandai kit. A 29 kit, I think it was. Like the Itasha one. And something
else. These were all autographed, of course.
Yeah, all autographed. And if the person, if they won, they got to go up on stage. And they had to basically do the paper airplane.
Right.
Basically, the people that called up on stage got paired up against somebody. And they had to see who can make a paper airplane and whose would go the farthest.
Okay. And to put the stakes in perspective, they were playing for the prize, but everyone in their row of seats got free posters if they won the prize.
Huh.
So the pressure was on.
Yeah.
And a couple of people said they'd had experience making paper airplanes. A couple of guys, it was the first time. The funny thing, of course, was the guests. And, of course, we've got to mention Tengen's plane.
Yeah.
Did it transform?
Almost.
Almost. It looked like a ghost by the time he was done with it. Because it had like four wings and it was really tiny. It looked like a double-decker plane upside down.
It was like a honeycomb almost at the back. Like
It was really weird. So everyone was expecting this thing just to fly like
all the
so
way across
far.
The stage, you know.
And he was second to last because Ayendo was last, I think.
Yeah, everyone was just like, Tengen's the Valkyrie Master. He's going to just own everyone with this. Yeah.
It drops straight to his feet.
Yeah.
So, like, he winds up, he throws it, it goes directly up in the air, flips, and goes straight down his feet. Like, it didn't even make it a meter.
Everyone else's plane went way further than his.
I guess it's time for a second sorting.
So that was pretty worthy. But, yeah, no big announcements. I was kind of hoping at the time.
Wait. I mean, they went through a list of announcements. They talked about Macross Blu-ray box set.
Okay.
And the day of the event was also the first day of the Valkyrie 1-to-1 opening over in Sotomachi at Skytree. And that was the last announcement of the things, because they're announcing the CD that was coming out, the Blu-ray. And right when they go into the Valkyrie, the 1-to-1 Valkyrie, screen goes blank, and I think Tengen probably made a video for it, a promotional video. Yeah, that's right, because he had asked us about that promotional video a couple months before.
Right, right.
So he made a video. He edited a video with the footage of them actually craning it up to the 8th floor. So there's video footage, pictures of it craned up, and has the Frontier music. But the intro to the video was like the biggest facepalm I've ever had, because it's all VF-25 is back. I'm like, big blank screen, big bold letters. It's all VF-25 is back.
Cinema-sized screen. Yeah.
Cinema-sized screen.
We have our episode title.
And I'm sitting next to Hisame, because she's actually the one that had an extra ticket, because I didn't have a ticket. And I'm just sitting there going, Jesus Christ.
So wait. I think last podcast we talked about the 1-to-1 VF-25 in the context of it's there, we don't know why it's there.
Well, we talked about the hand.
Yeah.
Again, it was one of those things where
We haven't actually talked about like why it's there, right? Well, I mean, you wrote a piece on the...
Go ahead.
Yeah. One of you wrote
We're going to talk about that as well. Coming up.
Yeah. Oh, are you? Okay.
So, we just forgot to talk about this so that we didn't arrange it to be in there.
Yeah.
Well, it actually ties in with all that.
Right. Since we're on the topic of events... I wanted to bring up, I was looking through the Macross Crossover Live 30 booklet, the other night, and, I mean, it's a really great booklet. It's got, like, pictures, and it's got interviews, and it's got some nice art, and...
And some not-so-nice art.
Yeah, and, signatures from,
and
like,
didn't you buy... Wait a minute, you bought this at the Marui in Osaka, right?
Yeah.
When we went to, and I don't want to offend you... I want to make sure I say this right.
Wait.
When we went to Takarazuka, this is when you bought it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
One of the things that's kind of cool in it, though, is that it has a list of, like, all of the 30th anniversary events that happened. So it's got, like, you know, the Happy Nyan Year Festival, which was in Yokohama. and the Genga Ten, which it has like a whole bunch of listings for, like Tokyo, Fukuoka, Kagawa, Saitama, Osaka, Nagoya. And it's got the Macross the Museum, and I... Renato, could you read this for me, please? Where was Macross the Museum?
Hyogo.
Hyogo.
Yeah.
Come on, why don't they say Takarazuka, yeah, man? It's a real city.
This is like the fourth podcast in a row, but this is worthy. This is kind of worthy. Now you know where we originally got it from, because that's how they promoted it.
Whatever I say now, you are going to just have to beep it out. So,
well, no,
let me spare you the trouble and say, beep you beeping beeper.
But see,
that's what it says!
See, Renato, now we can say Hyogo is canon.
Son of a beep.
All right, let's keep this train rolling.
Well, in Renato's defense, at least I'll say, these same people can't spell illustration half the time, so they probably got it wrong.
Oh, okay.
But good on Richard. Good on you, Richard.
Thank you.
So, the 25. Why is it there? I don't know. What are we...
Because the Chiba Institute of Technology opened up a new campus there in the Soramachi, the building next to the Sky Tree.
This is where they train Valkyrie pilots.
Yeah, apparently. And this is where Save and I went to... when was it?
We went the week like, before it opened, so it was actually a week before.
About a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so he was going to show me, this is where it was, and you were going to show me that slit that you could go through. No, the slit that you could look through, where you could see the hand.
Yeah.
And that had been covered up.
They knew you were coming.
But they knew I was coming. So he said, well, never mind then. But I had to sneak in a closer look, and... In between the door frame and the door itself, you could actually see there's another vertical slit that you could look through, and you saw the whole bulk there. So
yeah,
there were people in there. And then I think we were looking in there, and some people were walking towards us, and they just opened the door and walked in, and so we could see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then
Adrian, you went later on.
Well... We went I think that was like on a Tuesday, right? I think it was Monday or Tuesday we went. And,
yeah, it was some week there.
And in that same building, Soramachi, on the 12th floor, from the 12th floor of up, it's a bunch of businesses and good small companies there.
Okay.
And we all have a friend that works there. And I had sent her a message asking, if you hear anything Macross related happening... Please let me know, because there's no official announcement, but if anything goes up in the building, let me know.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, she sent me a message. No, Thursday, she sent me a message. She goes, oh, there's a poster about some Macross thing, so you're right.
Yeah.
And then she asked me if I wanted to go to lunch on Friday. So I went and I met her for lunch, and on the way out, she said, oh, the poster is next to the entrance of the station. The subway station when you're leaving. So I went down there, I went, and there was the poster. So I took a picture and I tweeted it.
Yeah.
So at that point, there was no actual public information that the Valk was there.
Mm-hmm.
But since they had an actual poster saying it's going to open on Saturday, Chiba Institute, then I figured, it's free game. So I took a picture and I tweeted it. And I was about to leave, and I said, well, I'm going to go upstairs, see if there's any more posters like hanging on the wall. So yeah. I went up to where we're at.
Mm.
And obviously it was the day before it opened, and you could see that there was like roped off areas and people walking in with like invitations that it's like a, invite only kind of thing. So I was like, oh, okay. So I walked over to that door that we were by, and it was a little bit open. So I just kind of peeked in. I'm like, okay, yeah, they're having some kind of an event. And as I'm leaking, I'm about 10 feet away. These two hands come out, pry open the door.
Like the T-1000 in Terminator 2?
Yeah, just like T-1000. These two hands come out, open the door. Tianjin leans over and says, come over here. I go over there, and he's like, Adrian, this is Shoji Kawamori. Kawamori? This is Adrian Lozano. all in Japanese, and I had to try to remember how to do all this introduction stuff, and I didn't freeze this time, and I didn't say the whole AKB thing. Yeah, I didn't do that, and he, like, he mentioned, he thanked us for something that we contributed to, and, but obviously, it was a press thing going on, so they said, go ahead and go in, look around, and I looked around, and in about 5 minutes, they basically got pulled away. So I eventually kind of just took off. And about within that hour, the Macross fan club officially announced it, that it was opening the next day.
Right, yeah.
So
it looks like a more permanent home for the Valk for now, because warehouse costs for it were pretty rough, from what I've heard. And it's good. I mean, it's free. And anyone can go in there and take a look. There's no merchandise or anything of that matter. It is just there as an exhibit.
Yeah, because they can't sell merchandise because that area of the building is educational. It's non-commercial. So you cannot. They wanted to put a gift shop there and sell Frontier stuff or whatever, but they couldn't. So it's open now. It's open all day, every day of the week. So if you're in Tokyo, everyone should go check it out.
So, Nyankora is out, as listeners may remember. We mentioned last episode, which is the collaboration, not anniversary, but just the collaboration album with a lot of old Macross songs covered by voice actors. It's out. It came out a few days back. I haven't completely listened to my copy yet. I'm kind of slowly taking it in. So far, it is exactly what I thought it would be, which is just fun. I wouldn't listen to it for musical quality. The version of what was it, Banana Moon?
Luca and Nanase version.
The Nanase verses are great. The Luca verses. I just want to pull my ears out off, or cut them off. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a fun listen. There's nothing too serious about it, and the artwork within the booklet is quite nice as well, because Marufuji went through and did a bunch of illustrations of the matchups, which he started doing back on the drama albums. You know, those pairings with they had like the Brera and Alto.
Yeah.
But there's one of Cheryl and Mao, which is quite nice. And I was like,
why don't you just start a Marufuji fan club or something?
Sounds good. Yeah. All right, you heard it here first, folks. So, to commemorate that coming out, there was a Nickel Nickel web broadcast, which was the return of a kind of a radio show, although they were streaming it, the visual feed from it, that used to run back when Macross F was on. And they'd gotten together a bunch of voice actresses. So they'd gotten Endor Aya, Cheryl, they had Megumi Nakajima, Ranka, they had Kiko Inoue, which was Grace. And they had Megumi Toyoguchi, which is, of course, both clans.
Yeah.
And basically, they just sat in this room, recording booth, for the best part of an hour. And not dissimilar to the SDF-1 launching ceremony, anniversary ceremony, just shot the shit for about an hour or so. Or mostly the first half hour. They were taking questions from the users, which they'd gotten from the audience, which they'd gotten in advance. And some of them were pretty funny. It was like, what someone wrote in, it's like, I heard a rumor that when Cheryl's at home by herself, she ends her sentences with Nyan. So yeah. I, Endo, got to do this, you know, do some lines and put Nyan on the end. But then everyone else decided to try it. So you got Grace doing Nyan and Ranka doing Nyan, and both clans doing yarn. Yeah. It's just fun.
I ended one was Konna Service Metta ni Shinai Nyan.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Except I think the voice actress for Clan, she got it wrong and said Nyon instead.
But so there was just a lot of back and forth. Something that kind of got me was realizing how Kikuko Inoue, who, for those who might not remember, was also in Metal Gear, and was also Bill Dandy back in the day. And oh my goddess, she is so out of touch with modern technology. She had no idea, apparently, what a smartphone or a tablet was, and was because people were saying, they were asking the viewers who was watching on a phone, who was watching on a computer, who was watching on a tablet. She's like, wait, what? A tablet's a computer, right? Wait, smartphone? You mean phones? Like, she just had no idea.
Maybe that was part of her character.
It could be, because as you said, they put the oi oi response into her own introduction, into her own self-introduction.
Did you watch it with the comments turned on?
Yes.
Did you see all that oi 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 all over the screen? It was pretty bad.
So, and to fill people in the gag there, the whole joke is that she claims she is eternally 17 years of age, and I'm not going to even guess how old she is now. In fact, I might have...
Yeah, I thought that was just a joke, though. I don't know... When did the oi oi thing start?
Well, the whole gag was that she doesn't want to ever age, so she'll say that she always introduced as she's the eternally 17.
Right.
Kikuko Inoue. And people... It got to the point where the fans would say, oi, oi, oi. This is like, you know, hey, come on now.
Oh, is that what it is? That's okay, right. I see.
Yeah, they were kind of like being sarcastic.
Right.
And then that got to be such the done thing as the Japanese one. Yeah, yeah, that's the meme, and she's adopted. So now when she introduces herself,
she says it herself.
Yeah, she's like, I'm 17. Oi, oi, oi.
And everyone joins her in that because they know it's coming. Yeah, I guess that was kind of interesting.
It was.
They did that in Macross 30 as well. With Cheryl. You know, there's interviews in the game, right?
Right.
So when they do the bridge in the game. No.
When you go into the... You go back to your ship to watch the videos, which is annoying.
Right. Yeah, so you can't actually select it from a separate menu.
Right.
So they have an interview with her, and when she introduces herself, this is done in the format of the Macross Super Dimension seminar.
Right.
You know, so like Chibi Cheryl is there, and she's looking at Kikuko Inoue introducing herself, and Kikuko Inoue is saying, do you know how to say this? Oi, oi. And Cheryl, the animated Cheryl, joins in and says, oi, oi, as she's doing it. So it's kind of interesting.
It's interesting. It's like a meme that's built up over 20-odd years or so. And it's before meme was coined, I think.
Yes, unfortunately, that was, for me, the most interesting part of that whole broadcast.
We learned something very important.
Yes, we did.
We did.
The most important thing you took away from watching this thing that I missed, unfortunately, is...
They had a number of questions where they made...
You never mentioned what this show was called.
I've completely forgotten.
It's Macross F...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
You actually have to pronounce this giant blood-curdling scream. Megumi Nakajima did like 3 times throughout the course of the Macross Fukatsu Joshi Kara Daraki no Nikoriyama Kyokuban.
Say it again.
It's Macross F.
So they had 3 questions for the audience where they can now bring up over the top of a Nico Nico video, yes or no, and you can click and it will go back and they can tally up the votes. And some of them were stupid. It was like, do you prefer big mandarins or small mandarins? Because small are supposed to be sweet and the larger ones are a bit... They're talking about fruit.
Okay.
Sure they are. They're talking about the fruit, right? but one of them was, do you prefer big clan or small clan?
Okay.
And it took them the longest to tally up the votes on that. And shock and horror, big clan won.
So we are going to get a gritty sequel.
It means that everyone's going to be wearing fastbacks.
Everyone's grown up, yeah.
Wow.
With a majority of 51%.
51.72. A measly 48.3. I'm happy.
And that concludes my seminar on the popularity of Amazonians.
So, no, I mean, in cartoon. We can now say, without reservation, gentlemen, the Moya boom is over.
Yeah, it is.
Macross Frontier has made headway in getting back to basics, you guys.
Unfortunately, after that, they asked Megumi, like the voice actress of Clan Clan, which she preferred. She preferred Small Clan.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. The audience has spoken.
Well, it's because she feels more comfortable doing the little girl voice, probably, right? Yeah.
So halfway through this talk show, or whatever you want to call it, the producer for Nyankora, album,
Sasaki Shiro.
Mm.
And he's actually really high up in Flying Dog, right? He's
the owner.
The president, right?
Yeah.
He's the president.
He was actually the producer on the album.
Well, but he's a music producer. He's been working on Macross music since Macross 2. No, since Macross 2. And, you know, at the time, it was still Victor. So I heard a lot about him, actually. I met him briefly once. And he was in a band. He was actually a musician himself. But he moved into producing, and yeah, what's interesting about him is that he's not really all that well versed in anime. I don't know about now, but at least at the time it wasn't. So he was one of those kind of like outside influences that was bringing in really new things to the table in the world of the anime music industry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have someone who doesn't know what this is about and going in, sometimes, you know, you can get a really fresh new vibe in there.
He was primarily talking about, you know, the collaboration effort of getting the different voice actors together. Interestingly, because they reused, as we mentioned last episode, some of these songs from the drama albums, which he'd also done as well. He was saying that he did two takes of a lot of those. So, for example, the one with Ozma and Kathy where Bobby breaks in and kind of camps the song up. He did another take on it where Bobby doesn't break in. And it's just a regular duet.
Okay.
So he said there's a couple of these alternate takes out there that have yet to be released, which was kind of interesting. But they unfortunately asked the audience what mashups they'd like to see, potentially.
Unfortunately?
Because, first of all, that meant the screen suddenly filled with text, and you could no longer... That's how many comments. But we're getting things like... Exodore and Leon! Fokker and Evadura!
Yeah, why not? That sounds
like,
cool.
It's like... It was just getting
I want to see Pedro and Yotchan.
But I think that...
See Dynamite Explosion.
The best one I saw, in my opinion, was they wanted a double Cheryl. They wanted Endo Aya and Main to do a duet.
Huh.
I was like, yeah, that could be nice. But yeah, everyone's just throwing out this ridiculously, you know, it's like, who can we pair Goobaba up with? Yeah,
obviously Cappy from Dynamite Zone.
So...
I'd like to be paired up.
Part of an album?
With Cappy?
No.
With Pedro?
No. I don't know. Like, I could... Megumi, Ayando.
Now we know where she's retired.
Yeah, Chie Kajiura.
So it was just a fun little show, nothing majorly important. No big announcements or any reference to any other particular big announcements. They did talk about the museum. They did say the Blu-ray box set for the movies and for 2 is coming out. And that was about
it. They mentioned 2?
They mentioned, they mentioned everything. And yeah.
What do you mean? Wow.
They're actually trying to sell this product.
So this was the day after the album launched, and my copy came that afternoon. It was waiting for me when I got home, so it was just nice to be able to listen to the album and watch this thing.
Well, this is something we didn't cover on our emergency broadcast of the new Macross series announcement, but before that, back on I believe it was March 4th,
right?
March 4th 2014 was the 29th anniversary of Robotech airing on TV, but on that specific day, Macross was mentioned on cable television on the Sci-Fi Network because Hidetaka Tenjin was a surprise guest on the TV show Face Off.
I'm sending you to Akihabara, the anime capital of the world. You'll have an opportunity to consult with genius anime artist Hidetaka Tenjin. Wow. He's worked on anime series like the ever-popular Macross franchise.
All right, well, good luck, and I will see you all back in Hollywood.
Thank you.
So the show, those of you who haven't seen Face Off, it is a reality contest show, similar to Project Runway, where it's makeup artists for like horror movies, science fiction movies that do actually prosthetic makeup, and sculptors to go against each other, and at the end you see who's the best creator. So they had an episode in this season, in this special episode they came to Japan, and their main challenge was to create an oni. They had two challenges, and the main challenge for coming to Japan was to create an oni and be judged by actually Academy Award winning Hollywood makeup artist who was Japanese.
What's an oni?
That is a kind of
a Japanese demon. The easy explanation.
Yeah. So
like an ogre.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like an ogre. So that was their main challenge. But they're filming a smaller segment where they go into Akihabara. And while they're walking around Akihabara, they're seeing maid cafes, moe characters, classic characters, all kinds of stuff going around. And they are taken to a maid cafe. And when they go to that maid cafe, it is basically a surprise challenge, is kind of what they call these things. It's not the main challenge of the episode. It's just something they throw at them out of the blue. And after they get their maid meal and they do the moe moe kyun, they basically say, now we have a surprise. Well, they actually knew they were going to meet this guest. And that there's going to be a challenge. They just didn't know what the challenge was. So at that point, they had to, after walking around Akihabara, that should inspire them to create their anime,
persona?
Alter ego. Yeah, anime persona.
Right, and so they needed someone who could speak some English and who was known in anime for some sort of, I think, design work, who could contribute to the design process.
Yeah.
Because at this point of this sub-challenge, the contestants were still really at a very, very basic level of the design. They were just basic sketches of their alter egos. Some weren't even sketches. They were just keywords. And so they wanted Japanese artists to come in and give them advice on making these concepts more anime-like, or possibly improve on them in some way, which would make them reflect anime a little more. And so to that end, we managed to get Tengen involved.
Yes. So prior to that, I was given this project to help them find somebody for a special guest. And I gave them a list of four people in the anime industry who they would probably be interested in talking with. Because they really didn't know who they wanted on the show, and I really didn't think they wanted contemporary anime artists that were doing more moe type stuff.
Right.
Sister anime or whatever. What is popular, because you would probably, if they would have went to somebody else, they would have been given somebody, like, use this person. They're really famous. But being that sci-fi used to air anime, and a lot of the people on sci-fi that view it are more of our age and probably younger, but we just figured there'd be somebody a little bit more for them. They ended up picking Tengen out of the list of people, and in late last year, we did the filming.
Yeah.
So it was we recorded at the At Home Cafe. It was filmed. The film crew came in, set up, and Tengen was there as their special guest.
Yeah,
and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Now, Tengen was, as he most certainly had every right to be, a little nervous, I think it's safe to say, because this was his debut, such as it was, on foreign television in a non-native tongue, and we'd met with him beforehand and briefed him about what to expect and gone over some potential scenarios. And so when the day came, we had these contestants with their sketches, and it was, I think, a learning experience for everyone. Some of the contestants were a little more familiar with kind of anime tropes and design, kind of key design points, whereas some weren't really even designers as such and just had key words.
Yeah, there's one specific person who was a really good sculptor, but couldn't sketch the idea they had.
Right.
So, and they had a very short time to speak with Tenjin, so there was some really good conversations, mm-hmm. and there were some really short ones. I think everyone had a good time, but the recorded segment that we finally saw was so short.
Yeah, we were on set when they filmed. They hit us behind the back because they didn't want to break the camera lens. And, you know, Tenjin spent a good 5 to 10 minutes with every single contestant. But at the end of it, they had to cut it down to a usable length. And this was only one segment of a sub-challenge in an episode which involved an entire overseas trip. So, yeah, basically we got an introduction, like Tenjin coming in, maybe 2 or 3 short interactions with people, and then the goodbye shot.
Yeah. I wish the segment would have been longer. They filmed at least a good 5 minutes of content if they actually put everybody together. They showed them talking to each person. But we weren't allowed to say anything for a long time, because this was back at the end of last year. And I was just kept watching for them to finally promote the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finally did, that's when, you know, we let Egan from Anime News Network know to let people know that it's coming out. And I think it was like a week. I think they only had like a week lead-in or something. So anybody here see that? Because we're region blocked. We can't even see anything on the Sci-Fi website.
I watched it. I watched it live.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, you know, I don't want to say blink and you missed it, but it was short. It was like, you know what, a minute and a half, maybe? And I understand that, you know, they have to cut down stuff, but it was kind of like, he comes in and is like, hey guys, what's going on? And then he's spends a few seconds with each person. I mean, obviously he spent longer with them, so... but it still seemed, you know, rather truncated from what actually did. And considering what was in the rest of the episode, I really would have liked them to have spent a lot more time with Tenjin. Because I, you know, he seemed pretty thoughtful, like, you know, with what he would say. Mm. And, you know, but a lot of times in the episode, especially the stuff that they would cut in with the contestants, you know, it's clear that they were focusing on a few specific contestants. And, you know, maybe those weren't the ones that he spent, like, the most time with or that he had the best interaction with, but those were the ones, those are like, you know, you're, you know, as you go on a reality show, your stars emerge, and those are the ones that they focus, because that's the drama that the reality show producers want to see, and that's what essentially sells the show, when, you know, that's what gets people to tune in. Even though, like, you know, Tenjin probably had some really quality interactions with some of the other contestants, but, you know, that didn't necessarily make the cut. But so I was disappointed with the length of it. Yeah. I was, like, really kind of looking forward to more of it.
No, because when you try to view the Sci-Fi website,
it's blocked over here.
You can see the site, but all the video won't stream, and it gives you this notice saying, you cannot view this from your region.
Right.
Yeah.
But... luckily, we can see the screen grab, and at least when they announced it for that episode, the screen grab was of Tenjin talking to one of the artists.
Monday 28th was the first day of the 2014 concert for Super Robot Spirits. Now, this is a concert that's held annually and gets together a bunch of, no, not necessarily Super Robot Wars songs, but all the songs from Super Robot shows in general, and gets all the original artists and artists from newer songs and gets them to do their classic hits and some crossovers and some covers. Now, this isn't a concert I usually frequent,
Yeah, and because it's Gundam heavy, I could usually care less.
but last year, something interesting happened.
Yeah, last year I was offered a ticket to go to the 2013 Super Robot Spirits. And I said, all that Gundam stuff? No thanks. There's nothing there for me.
But there was.
Yes. Yeah, and I believe it's in one of the old podcasts that in the middle of the night I get a text from a friend of mine named Nabe saying, yeah, somebody just sang Yakusoku from Macross 2. I'm like, somebody covered it? And he's like, no, it was, you know, Kasahara. I'm like, oh, she was there. Yeah, I'm going next year. And she was on the bill for 2014.
Right, and there were two tickets on offer, so I said, well, heck, I'll go as well. And so he turned up. And while there are a lot of classic anime songs done, there was some Elgaim in there, there was some Dugrum in there, there was a lot of Gundam in there.
Dumbine,
yeah. And what it came down to was that we went for Kasahara.
Was Mio there?
Yeah, Mio was there.
Wow.
So Mio always does...
Or Meek or whatever, however you
everyone just calls him Mio, right? We get some Gundam, Zeta Gundam. Got, you know...
Wait, double Zeta Gundam or Elgaim? I always get confused which one's which.
Laserdisc sets. Yeah.
So we're like hypothetically thinking in line, like, well, okay, the Macross 2 Blu-ray is coming. So that means they'll probably do like Morochito Love, or they'll probably do something else.
Right, right.
And so they're going to do it. Chances are good that I'm going to hear some Macross 2
songs
live.
Were there any actual
live.
Macross people involved, or was it just.
Well, Fukuyama was there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I'm interested.
So we get there and we're waiting, and she finally comes out on stage. 11 songs in, to thrill us all with what she should be promoting at this point in time, which is Pat Labor. Because of that new live-action Pat Labor.
That has nothing to do with this. Sorry, it's just... She actually sang the opening song for Pat Labor.
Which
one?
Well, she sang the opening for the OVA, and she sang one song from the movie, and she did the second opening from the TV series.
She sang the opening for the other
day? Yeah.
Kimi ga da 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 da.
Is it Mirai Ha Lovers?
Mirai Ha Lovers, yeah. I know she did the song which was the image song for the movie, that wasn't actually used in the movie, which is Promised Land.
She did that too.
She did that too. Oh, that's good.
Pat Labor, the Mobile Police theme song performance.
Pat Labor
opening number
good music.
Two. That's what it says.
All right.
So
Pat Labor will continue into the future.
Yes,
it already is.
But I always thought it was Tominaga Mina.
Well, she did three Pat Labor songs, and then she came back out at one point. And this is the only Macross she did.
Yeah, and it wasn't Macross 2.
What?
Well, up until that point, she came out, she sang that song. She came out, and I'm like, yes, here it comes. It was Pat Labor. I'm like, all right, she'll be back. Because, oh, they're going to save it for when she comes on stage and sings with
Fukuyama.
Because last year, they did, what was it? Burning Fire. That was what they did together.
She sang Burning Fire. Wow. I want to hear that.
So, of course, they're going to come back out. And Fukuyama came out, sang some Macross 7 songs.
Three songs in, because he did 7th Moon, he did Submarine Street. And then he introduces her, and we're like, all right, we're going to get something now. And we did.
Well, they even talked a little bit. Yeah. And he even was saying, like, oh, she's my Macross senpai. She was Macross 2.
Because, you know, at first he's like, okay, yeah, she's number 2. She's a generation before me. She's my Macross senpai. Wait, 2, 7. She's 5 generations my Macross senpai, which is kind of cruel.
Or 2 years, depending on how you look at it.
And then they go into Totsukeki Love Heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which
is fine, because that's just getting me ready for Morochito Love. Got to slow things down. Got to slow it down. I'm going to go back up and they it was really good. Everyone was getting into it. Made a Gundam dance, by the way.
Oh yeah, this guy in a Gundam outfit.
And he was dancing off to the side, and they went off stage.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So we had Kasahara, we had Ishtar doing Totsugeki Love Heart. And it wasn't a bad rendition. It didn't sound very Ishtarish.
No, but either way, I got screwed again, and I still have not seen her sing
that
anything.
That still should have ended up on the Nyankola album.
In doubt, I have to agree. But
well, there was an acoustic corner, and being acoustic corner, needing acoustic guitars, of course, Fukuyama came out to play the acoustic guitar and do some backing vocals and some chorus vocals, along with a bunch of the other guests of all things, the opening to Southern Cross.
Southern Cross.
Southern Cross.
Southern Cross. Superdimensional Cavalry Southern Cross.
I didn't know anyone in Japan remembered Southern Cross.
I don't think anyone does.
Well, the reaction was everyone was like, ah.
Oh, I heard this, I think.
But yeah, so I won't go to a full set list, although we did get the original artist from the Desco doing You Get Burning. And,
okay.
And then she covered Watashi Rashiku, which was originally Kuwashima Hawk.
Wait, why would they sing the Desco? That is not a robot anime.
There are robots in it.
Oh, that is not a robot anime. Why
would cutting off Gwyn? Gwyn's talking. Gwyn's talking about the voice actress for Nanase, and you're cutting him off.
I'm just saying. It's just I don't.
This is a crime.
The crime is they put a non-robot anime song in the lineup of Super Robot Spirits. That's all I'm just saying.
So, Brooklyn Red Leg, Southern Cross theme.
Yeah, that was trippy, to say the least.
It was really well done, but it's just strange.
Yeah.
It's not even just that they did a Southern Cross song. It's yes, Fukuyama it doing Southern
yes,
Cross.
Yes.
So, yes, there's some new events being held at the Ishinomori Manga Museum. The Mangatan Museum. Ishinomori Mangatan.
But it's really called Mangakan.
Okay, but where'd the tan come from?
I don't know, because they show the title in the name of the place in kanji. And it's kind of like a wordplay, because it's not the usual manga. It's they use the old kanji for man, as in 10,000, instead of the actual man that makes up the kanji for manga.
For manga, right.
So it's like the museum of 10,000 pictures or something like that.
Okay.
And then underneath that logo, that kanji logo, they have the Romaji, but the Roman letters say Mangatan instead of Mangakan, which is the actual proper reading of that. Okay. Japanese people, I know for a fact, tend to not read any Romaji ever. They just put them up there as part of the design for show, and that's fine. So I asked people, "What Mangatan, what is that?" And nobody knew. So,
well, these new events, they're going to be going on, or held on May 31st and June 1st, so across a weekend, two nights, or one day and one night, I should say. And one day will be a screening of The False Songstress, and next day will be a screening of The Wings of Farewell. Each one will be accompanied by a talk show, which will be Shoji Kawamori and Hidetaka Tenjin. On the 1st, on the Sunday, there will also be approximately 40-minute mini-live by Fukuyama. Mm. So if you were to go to the area, or be in the area, the Sunday seems like the obvious draw to me. You get Wings of Farewell on this out projected on the side of the building outside, plus the talk show, plus the mini concert. There's no word on signing yet. I haven't gone through the details. There may be some signing session there as well. So it just seems like if you're going to go up there, that's the weekend to go up there.
Which is why I did not go up there on that weekend.
Which means you've already been up there, because they did a previous event, which was an outdoor screening of Do You Remember Love? So
with no talk event and no concert.
Tell us all about it, Renato.
All right, so here we go. The Ishinomori Manga Kan, or Ishinomori Manga Museum, or Mangatan Museum, or whatever you want to call it, is located in the city of Ishinomaki, which is in Miyagi Prefecture. Now, you have to... If you're going from Tokyo, you have to take the Shinkansen Hayabusa to Sendai.
Switch from Dead or Alive.
What? You have to take the Shinkansen to Sendai And then you have to change over. To Sendai, it's like an hour and a half from Tokyo. Then you've got to get another local train. This local train is 45 minutes. Okay. It takes you to this place. I can't remember the name of it, but you got to change over trains. You have 4 minutes to change over. You change over, and you have to be on another train for 45 minutes. By the time you get to Ishinomaki, it's been like at least 3 hours since you left Tokyo. Pretty tired. It was okay. The city itself,
a ringing endorsement there.
Right. You know, I should give a bit more context here. Ishinomaki was one of the worst hit areas of the disaster on 2011, March 11th. So there are still a lot of buildings which are decrepit. There are a lot of buildings which have been destroyed. There's a lot of mangled up, like, road signs and road barriers and things. So it was kind of very mixed feelings going there. And the most striking thing for me was walking around town. This was during Golden Week, so I don't know if it's like this every day normally. But I was there a whole weekend, and I didn't see anyone under the age of 40. Except for the people that were in the museum. And for that, that was because I'm sure that most of them came from outside of Ishinomaki. And that's rather telling of just the way that population is spread out here in Japan. You have a lot of kids and young people in the big cities, but really, everywhere else, the rural areas of Japan, they're very, very, they're very much in dire straits as far as, you know, labor force. I'm really going off topic here. Okay, back Macross, right? Okay. So we get to the Ishinomori Shotaro Museum. First of all, the station is very, very nice. The train was very nice too, because it was covered in Ishinomori characters. Okay, more context. Ishinomori Shotaro is one of those classic manga artists. He is the creator of Cyborg 009, the creator of Kikaider, the creator of what's the other one? Kamen Rider. So he's a really big deal in Japan, and it's you know, he's not on the same level as Tezuka Osamu, obviously, but you know, he's of the same generation. They used to live together in that, you know, apartment, the very famous one. I can't remember what it's called right now. Someone's going to call me out on it. And yeah, so there's a museum dedicated to his life. There's actually two museums in the Tohoku region dedicated to him. He was born in this other town outside of Ishinomaki, and that town, I can't remember the name of it, I'm sorry, has a Ishinomori Furusato Hakubutsukan, which is the Ishinomori hometown museum. I have not been there, so I don't know what that has. But this one is the Ishinomori Mangakan. So the Mangakan is basically a lot of like statues and interactive things, mainly kid oriented really, because there's a lot of, you know, you could pretend that you are Kamen Rider and you're doing the henshin thing transformation and you're projected on the screen, so it's good for families, right? Yeah?
But it's a little less academic than
the only the real
Tezuka museum.
Yeah, the only real you know, as he was academic kind of things, was the free area, the one that you didn't need to buy a ticket to see, which was a bunch of, like, every page of his of one of his manga, again, which I've forgotten the title of, god damn it, and they all have explanations and notes, and they're saying, okay, well, here he uses the color black to indicate something, the inner turmoil of the main character, and here you see that the forest is making the sheen noise, and the sheen is a sound effect that is used in manga to mean silence, and why would you have silence? Well, you need silence, because, you know, so it is really interesting just for that. So I was interested in that. But yeah, the rest of the museum is kind of like, okay, if you're in town and you're going with kids, it would be fun. But otherwise, I'm not so into that. But of course, it was home. It's a temporary home to Macross the Museum, or rather, the Macross Museum exhibit, because it's not a museum, right?
It's a touring museum.
Apparently,
it's a tour.
Yeah, it's barely a museum, but
well, it's like when they showed the treasures of Tutankhamun, and they went to all the.
It is not. Do not compare a commercial venture. A commercial venture to, you know, the remnants of a civilization. I have my issues with using pop culture stuff in museums.
Of 1980s civilization.
Okay,
yes.
right.
Which is a completely different civilization than what we're experiencing
now. It is, as Tom can attest to, you know, having been here 20 years later. Anyway, so we get to the thing, and so the way you described it, where was the cockpit when you described? Is it at the end of the exhibit?
No, it was. If anything, in the first half.
Okay, well, this was
the beginning, but we went through backwards. So for us, it was at the end.
Okay, this it was right at the beginning. It was before anything else.
Did you have like the captain's pipe or portraits or any of that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's after.
That's after.
Oh,
right.
Okay,
that's what I mean. It was right at the beginning. The first thing, you turn around the corner and the cockpit is there. And then you turn to the left and then the actual exhibition begins proper.
Okay.
If you don't want to line up for a photograph, you can just go straight into the exhibition. I lined up for a photograph and I took my photograph with the
F1S. I saw it. It was good.
Really?
Yeah.
With my Back to the Future t-shirt.
Yeah, your wife is a good photographer.
Well, why was it not in focus then? Never mind. Okay. I think that I should note, this is my first time going to the Macross Museum. I didn't go with these guys last time when they went to
Kyogo.
Right, that's what it was called. Right. So I was not that impressed because I'd seen everything already, pretty much everything at least, at the Parco de Design exhibit.
They had a lot of stuff in Hyogo that wasn't at the...
Like what?
All the Valkyrie toys on the walls.
But those Valkyrie toys are in my house. So
okay.
They were in this as well.
And the Protoculture utensils from Do You Remember Love?
Right, okay.
That was all for the museum.
That was for the museum, yeah, right. Yeah, that was new. So then the pipe as well, I think.
Yeah,
maybe,
the pipe, yeah.
Okay.
And the really pixelated apart from that, picture of Sarah.
Yes. Again, that's probably why they didn't make that Macross Zero book. They couldn't find high-res versions.
Right.
I don't know. So I remember going into detail about this a bit more on Friday when I was talking to Adrian over lunch. I don't remember much else about it now. It's been too long. So, overall, my impressions, it was quite... Oh, wait, yeah, I should mention, we ate whale. We had whale meat, so here we go.
Kujira!
Kujira! Tabetai! Tabetaize! All right. So, it was okay. It wasn't really disappointing, but it was okay. The trip overall was good. Now, the reason I went, the main reason, was that on the evening of that day, from 6:30 p.m., they were going to screen Do You Remember Love on the side of the actual museum.
Right.
The actual museum is shaped like an egg. It's a very oval, kind of, like, stretched spherical shape.
Is there a reason for that?
It looks futuristic, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't done the research on it.
Does Kamen Rider lay eggs or something?
No. But you haven't you seen the photograph?
Yeah.
They project the movie on that, on the egg.
Right.
And it was quite interesting. But anyway, before I go into the actual projection, let me set this up a little bit. You had to get there early because for the first 500 people that come, they were going to give canned badges. You know, steel is...
Like
Pin badges, maybe. I don't know. You know,
little pins.
They're not pins. They're badges.
Campaign badges.
Campaign badge. In Japanese, they call kanbaji. So there's two designs.
Steel badges.
Steel. Yeah. I stole. There's two designs. One of them has it's the scene. They're both from the movie. The scene from the part where Misa and Hikaru kiss for the first time on the Protoculture City.
Okay.
The other one is Minmay in her first concert. Not at the end, at the beginning.
Both of those are better than that Ranka badge that I got from the from the Tokyo Dome.
Well, you can get another one if you go to the Sayonara and Tsubasa screening, probably. Right. I'm sure they'll make some. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, the badges were kind of a take it or leave it thing, but you had to be there rather early because we checked out the main seating area, which is across the river from the museum. The museum is on a riverbank, and the seating area and the projector itself was on the other riverbank, the other side of the river. So there are some plastic benches there, but not many. And it seemed like an overly small space, considering that they were advertising the first 500 comers who get badges.
Right.
And those posters were everywhere, right? So they were really advertising the hell out of this thing. I mean, literally, you went into the... You stepped outside the train, you go into the station, and it's there. And you go around the corner, and the coffee shop has on the door a giant poster of... Who is it? Pop from Snap, Crackle, and Pop of the Rice Krispies thing, piloting a Valkyrie. God damn it.
I.E. Cyborg 009.
Thank you very much. So, yeah... It was kind of strange that they would have such a small seating space. That's why we decided, okay, we got to get here at 6. And my wife was like, okay. And so, you know, we killed a bit of time, walked around. We saw the souvenir shops that had the makuro su. And su means vinegar in Japanese. So it's a pun.
like the culture.
And there's also my soul show you, because soy sauce in Japanese, but cheese.
Then there was the show branded Welcome to My Furikake Night.
And a million others. And it was like, what is it? Like, Oshio ga suki da kedo, onigiri motto suki. There's some new line.
Who comes up with these, and how much should they get paid for it?
Probably that guy who was at the party.
Probably, you know, the dolls who arranged the music culture on the official website.
Right.
Marionette generation. anyway, right. So we go back to the seating area at 6 p.m. and they're like, okay. Save a seat. There's an empty chair here. We met the number one Macross fan. Of course, he was there. We met the new couple. They've just gotten married or just gotten engaged. I don't know. We met the guy. I'm sorry, the guy with the bad BO. That's the only way that I know. The guy with the bad BO.
So
this huge guy.
Japanese
Macross
fans.
I should know.
Was the Macross baby there?
No.
Okay.
Which I'm glad, because for reasons that you'll hear in a second.
Renato does not like babies.
No, for its own safety. I'll explain it in a second. The guy with the bad BO dropped yakisoba on the floor. That was one anecdote that was entertaining while I was waiting for the movie to start, which was a really long time, because 6:30 came and went, and the announcement every 5 minutes by the lady that was in the corner was, yeah, it will start very soon, so please get to your seats. We're just
Amanaku.
Waiting. Mamonaku. It was literally, they said, Mamonaku, and then they said, Shibaraku o machi kudasai.
Yes.
Which is an oxymoron.
Yes.
Because Mamonaku literally means instantly, immediately. Ma-mo-naku, ma-mo-nai.
Yeah.
There is no ma, there's
space.
No space.
Naku means none.
So after saying
no
Shibaraku o machi kudasai, it means wait for a while. Wait for a while till immediately arrives. I was getting quite annoyed.
It sounds like you're annoyed now.
I am annoyed now, reminiscing about it. It's bringing up all these emotions. And the time just kept going and going, and they were like, yeah, as you can see, it's still too bright out, and so we can't play the movie, and blah, blah, blah. And all I want is for them to say, okay, we're going to delay it half an hour, or 25 minutes, or however much. And if you want, you can change that later. But don't keep saying mamonaku, 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 and then don't actually show it. So it is now getting pretty cold because the sun is going down. And remember, we're on the side of a riverbank, and this flows out into the sea.
And this is pretty far north.
Yeah, it's cold. 7 p.m. goes by, and then they start to show trailers. Trailers for what? It's trailers for the Shooting Star Macross Frontier box set.
Thumbs up, Shooting Star trailer.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. Oh my god. And there's some other stuff. Macross 2! Macross 2 got a mention.
There you go.
And that was fun. And then they start the movie. You see the Toho logo. And you're like, here we go, man, here we go. You see the Toho logo, it fades to black. And then you've got this black, ominous... Yeah, no. No. Because before that scene, it's Exodor and Rita talking, right?
Yeah.
So the first scene you... Very nice. That sounds more like Knight Rider, but close enough. Kid, I can't... I have no traction, Michael. Except the subtitle appeared. I couldn't hear anything. Britai and Exodor appeared. Mm. They're talking. I still can't hear anything. The idiots have left the sound off. and it took them quite a while to realize as well. Exodor and Britai are having a conversation. They could be talking about anything. We don't know because we can't read the subtitles because they're so small.
Yeah, but
I should mention
knows the words already, so they, didn't anybody start... Like,
that's true, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't anybody start speaking?
God, I mean, when
dance, the college challenge, dance, then dance.
Yeah,
I mean, when I was in Kibuko seeing the what was it, Nankuri, the clip show thing,
flashback 2012, the new
version. When they showed that in the movie theater, and I think I was the only one of us who was there.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were showing it.
And for about the first 4 or 5 minutes, the screen was misaligned so that you could...
Oh, my God.
It was like the bottom half of the screen, and then the line, and then there was like black under that, and everyone was laughing. And this was Japanese audience laughing.
Oh, God.
And it took the projector guy, like, again, 5 minutes to figure out, oh, wait, there's a problem, and we need to adjust.
That reminds me of the first time I saw Macross Plus Movie Edition at an anime convention in London. They had set the playback function to NTSC instead of PAL or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and so the colors were all screwed up.
No,
for the first half hour.
Wow.
And then afterwards, someone decided to press a button. Anyway, Gwyn is signaling for me to move it along. So okay, warping and folding to the screening. It took them maybe... I wouldn't say... It wasn't like a minute, but it took them quite a while. A significant amount of time to work out what is going on. I later spoke to someone, and he told me that they were actually relaying the audio using some FM frequency. Which means that if you had a pirate radio station, you could make your own commentary. that would have been interesting. Make your own dub as well. And then the movie starts,
that
and it
doesn't tell us about
The woman. The woman must not penetrate. And then we get to maybe the 20-minute mark, 25-minute mark, and my wife starts shivering. She gets closer and closer, and like, you know, it's really cold. I'm starting to not be able to feel my legs now.
And she's not even a Macross fan.
She's not even a Macross fan. God bless her heart.
she's a trooper.
Yeah. And who, you know who else is a trooper? The number one Macross fan. Because he just had one layer. We were wearing coats, and we were cold. He just had a lumberjack jacket. Jack jacket shirt, even.
Wow.
So it's pretty bad. But yeah, he's hardcore. anyway, I'm like, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to leave? We can leave. I don't mind. And you know, she was feeling bad because, you know, but this is what we came for. We came for this. And I'm like, okay, well, I've seen it. I have the Blu-ray.
You went that you'd already seen this movie.
She had an inkling. the movie looked impressive at times. We were across the river, like I said, so even though the side of the building is rather large, and it looks nice, but it's from a distance, it does look like you're watching a small TV screen. Mm. So it's more about the ambience, that you're right. Seeing it out in the open with this big speaker sound. And the most impressive scene was probably the first shot of the Macross coming out from space, because it looked like it was actually descending from the sky. Nice. You know, it was very interesting. And then you got the close-up of the bridge, and that was really, really impressive too. Everything else is like, okay, I'm watching it on a small screen at home. Yeah. And it's very cold. Maybe I should turn on the heating. But we got... I said, what do you want to do? You want to leave? And she said, no, I'll stay. I'll try my best. And I'm like, look, I don't want you to get frostbite, because she gets frostbite. We used to live in Kyoto. She has... Come on, man! This is part of it! What do you want me to do? It was a very good movie. Yeah, I like the part where Min-Mei sings. Screw you, man! This is more interesting. So anyway. So she's afraid of getting frostbite, and I'm like, okay, let's just get to the part where Roy the Fokker dies. And then...
Spoilers?
Sorry, guys! By the way, Hikaru ends up with Misa. so we go back to this... did I mention this was outdoors? We go back to the indoor area, which is really brightly lit. It's French windows, so you can technically see outside, but because it's so brightly lit outside and there are no lights out, so brightly lit inside and there are no lights outside, all you get is glare if you stay inside and try to watch the movie from there. You can't see it. So we walked in and I said, okay, well, let's just warm up here. I don't need to see, the middle part of the movie. I know what goes down. So
the Earth section is really long.
It goes on for a bit. So I said, okay, I'm going to pop out when Max fights Miria, and then I'll pop back in, and then we'll go out for the finale. How's that sound? And she was like, okay. So we're warming up, and we're like, oh my god, it was so cold. And I realize where I am. This area is a display of photographs that were taken immediately after the 2011 March 11th triple disaster.
Oh, God.
In which, literally, people died from freezing temperatures.
Right.
Because it was in winter.
Yeah.
And you know, there's all these photographs, and I'm reading the descriptions, and it's like people lining up for 4 hours just to get water. People lining up for miles just to get to a 7-Eleven for supplies. It was kind of like a punch in the face, and it made us feel like assholes complaining about we're not watching a movie outside. It's 7 p.m. and I'm cold. Oh my god, we were like so down. but we got over it. And then we stepped outside for the final climax, And then they sang, and oh, by the way, I should mention it was the 5.1 mix, but not in 5.1. There were only two big speakers, which means that it's the version with the strange sound effects and the music taken out at the end that Tom hates.
Shame.
Yes.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Kawamori must
could
answer.
Could you hear the English announcements well?
Fairly well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was okay. So then the movie ended where the credits are scrolling and we're like, okay, we're starving. Let's go eat something. When I stepped away, I realized that the Angels Paints song by Mary Ijima can be heard all throughout the city.
Wow.
And it was really quite impressive. It was, cause
that is impressive.
It's echoing, off all of the walls and all the buildings around it.
Does Mari know this?
I don't know. It was quite interesting, quite an experience. I didn't take any photographs of it. Hey, I have the same computer.
You didn't take any photographs of the song?
I didn't take any photographs of the screening.
Oh, okay.
Because I was actually planning to. I was going to go over to... There's a bridge that joins the two halves of the river, the two sides of the river. And I was going to go over there and take a photograph, but I thought they might stop me or something. Mm. They did say no photographs allowed.
Yeah.
But who would have known? It was an interesting experience. It was fun.
You know, Ishtar looks beautiful.
Yes, she does. Really? On a daily basis, she does.
That's a good one.
Boy, why don't you do some brown nosing while you're at it?
Shut up.